when the news came that she had leukemia, and her mother took her immediately to Vrindavan, where she requested a darshan with Srila Prabhupada. And both mother and child, young child, 16, beautiful, with all the hopes for devotional life, they came into Srila Prabhupada's room, and it was sure that Manisha was terminally ill and would die in Vrindavan. That's why they went to Vrindavan. Mother and daughter burst out in tears as they entered the room, thinking of this tragedy and so on. But Srila Prabhupada stayed on the spiritual perspective and did not give, how would you say, expression to grief, which is on the human platform. We feel very much aggrieved when someone leaves us. On the human platform, and we cry and we allow our hearts to pour out the grief. On the spiritual perspective, things look different. We know no one dies, really. No one dies. When a great soul leaves, we feel, he has gone onwards, either onwards in his journey or has even reached Krishna. So that is some happiness even. But on the human platform, we should grieve and we must grieve. And it is unnatural if we cannot grieve. So Prabhupada, in this situation, chose to look at this from the spiritual perspective. And I'm saying this because we will need this perspective to support our Maharaj now where he travels onwards in his glorious journey. He said, don't be in anxiety. Anyone who has come to this material world will die. One is going to die today. Another is going to die tomorrow. It is a question of first and second. But everyone will die. So before death, one should complete his Krishna consciousness. That is the success of life. The tree is standing for thousands of years. So what is the use of living like that? A tree cannot chant Hare Krishna, but lives for thousands of years. Do you think that kind of living is very worthy? Standing in one place, cannot move even, and what to speak of chanting? So you have got the chance to chant Hare Krishna. Utilize that. Don't be anxious, I'm going to die. Who is going to live? Why don't you understand that? Now Prabhupada wants to help his disciples and he raises them even forcefully from that human level to the spiritual level. He's going to be intense now. Who is going to live? Why don't you understand that? Nobody is going to live. So before death, one should be complete in Krishna consciousness. That is success. Then Prabhupada at the end, with a compassionate smile of reassurance to his young disciple, he said, don't be worried. But her mother was in tears. I mean, her young child would die of leukemia. And Prabhupada said, what is the worry? I have already said everyone is going to die. Then Antardhyana was specific. She's worried about seeing the Yamadutas, Prabhupada. This is what she is worried about. And Prabhupada addressed Manisha directly and gave a formula to overcome death. Chant Hare Krishna. Always think of Krishna. That's all. And in her tears, Manisha began to nod. She had lost her fear and her grief and her tears at Prabhupada's kindness, was very heartened. Obviously, I'm reading this to save my condition also, but it is a condition. And I believe our 64 rounds day can be done in meditating about the situation of this great personality. Prabhupada once related death to a motivation which we can get to chant better. So this chanting of Hare Krishna is so important that you can think always, my own death is coming. Death is at my door. This is now the death meditation for you. Let me finish my chanting. Let me finish my chanting. Always you should think like that, that death is already coming. So let me chant. My dear devotees, this Japa retreat is a journey. We started our journey by hearing a little bit about the general nature of retreats. We had said that in a retreat, we leave the world and go into a house inside the house. That is an isolated situation, very much akin or alike to the situation of the child within the womb of the mother. As you know, birth and death is very much related, strangely. In this world, sometimes mother can only survive the birth of the child when she thinks, let my child live through this process of giving birth. So, a retreat is something like going back and looking anew at life with a new perspective. The beginner's perspective, as we heard yesterday so nicely from our mother Sukavaha, who reminded us of a practical application of humility. I'm always again and again a beginner. The second day, we heard about the touchstone qualities of the holy name, the ability of the holy name to change us into real devotees of the Lord, blissful devotees in our transcendental bodies even, provided that we allow the holy name to work on us. We heard in this regard that the holy name, the touchstone qualities of the holy name, will only work when we avoid the offenses. And on that first day, we dedicated our energy and our time to a very, very sincere endeavor to uproot the root of all offenses, that is inattention or unconcentrated chanting. That day was under the motto of really working hard to avoid the offenses by going, let me say it differently. That day was under the motto of removing the tree, the outbranching tree of offenses by going to the root and cutting it there, that is inattentive chanting. We did exercises. We did not all feel extremely comfortable with all the exercises because we were forced to put our effort in something. The result of that day was we arrived at Prabhupada's statement that the best thing is really just here. Don't neglect your mind when it diverts, and just bring yourself to hearing. That's the idea of concentration. Yesterday, in our journey, was placed under the motto of awakening the spiritual heart. We listened in the morning, or heard in the morning, of relating chanting to prayer, specifically begging at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the nectar of the holy name by prayer. We had a prayer from Krishnamashtakam, a wonderful Ashtakam of Rupa Goswami, where we learned a prayer where we directly asked for taste so that we can chant and overcome the dryness of the heart. Yesterday we had that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful round where we were so blessed as to hear from the devotees their own journey in relationship to the holy name. And we felt very, 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 I felt it was my peak experience so far in the retreat. We were very, very blessed, and I want to thank you very much that you overcame the natural shyness where one does not want so much to speak about his own spiritual realization, shared with the group. Some of you were moved to tears. So important was the chanting of the mantra for you. I was wonderful, and I want to thank also Anutama for so expertly bringing us into this session and so on. I could not have done this possibly because, anyways, I couldn't have done it. So he very much helped us. And then in the afternoon, we tried to work more on our heart, the visions and the visionary aspect, by going through a guided meditation. I did not do very well, please excuse me. But the idea here was to open our heart to things like meditation, more contemplation, and so on. And the day ended with something about faces and masks, giving up the false egos and the upadis, the designations which cover us one after the other. And then we all took shelter at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the wonderful bhajan and kirtan of Badahari Prabhu and Savatma Prabhu's extremely artistic rhythmic accompaniment. That was where we are at the journey. We have now arrived to the nucleus, the center of our japa retreat, the 64 round stay. We have prepared ourselves a little bit through concentration and through then opening the heart. Now our hearts are so much open. I can see all of you. I don't even look at all of you at this moment by hearing the snooze. So, yes. Now we have to get practical, help our great personality who is on his journey, and we dedicate our sincere effort to chant the holy days, the holy name on this day to His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. Let us please chant briefly Jaya Radha Madhava, and then I will talk about 64 rounds. It will be a memorable memorable quotes we will hear. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari, Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari, Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari, Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Randana, Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Randana, Kiravanachari, Yamuna Kiravanachari, Nidaya Jadha Madhava Vaishnavata ko jaya, Vaishnavata ko jaya, Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravraja Kacharya Ashtata Satasi Simatisti Vaingres Sila Ave Charanaravinda Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaja ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes. We have with us Ram Tulsi Devi Dasi, Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj's dear disciple, and the mother of Brindarani Devi Dasi, who is also a disciple of Srila Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj. And also our Nutama Prabhu is with us, the husband of Ram Tulsi, and a very near and dear friend, close friend to Maharaj. And on this day we offer our hearts to you and your grief which you feel. And I think you have done a good choice to do this day in this japa retreat and continue, because yes, the grief is there, but we have to now offer help. That's important. We have to do something. We can cry in our grief, but best help is we chant. Hare Krishna, phew. So really, I'm. If I don't speak tastefully, please see. I'm really struggling. As your seminar man or retreat man, I have to just struggle and leave the human platform, because if I'm on there, we cannot continue the retreat for today. So if I do this in a German way, a little forceful and a little strong with words, please see, it's my way of struggling to, so that I can do my service and also the service to Maharaj. Krishna, phew. Oh, Krishna, phew. So the 64 ounce day. One morning, early morning, Mahaprabhu greeted his dear devotees from Navadvip. And he said to them, I have spoken the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now you go ahead and chant it, being sure to take a vow to repeat it a fixed number of times every day. The word is kariya nirbanda, make a nirbanda. All perfections will come to you from chanting the holy name. Chant always. There is no other rule to follow. Now the word nirbanda has several meanings. One is it can indicate fixed concentration. The other, unity of thought and action. We learned this on the concentration day, where we brought our mind to our practice. The word nibbanda can also mean enthusiasm. We should chant with enthusiasm. It can also mean determination to achieve the desired goal. We chant with a determination to achieve the desired goal. But this means is chanting is a sadhana which aims to reach a satya, that is a spiritual goal. In spiritual life you have to learn four words. Sadhaka, that's you. Sadhana, that's what you do. And satya, that's what you reach. And then the last word is sadhu. That is the person who instructs you to do this. In this verse, however, it refers to a commitment to chant a fixed number of holy names every day. This word Nibbanda expresses this. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his appearance in this world, spoke about Nibbanda very, very specifically. He had, in his Navadvipa pastimes, just told the Navadvipasis, chant a Nibbanda, a chant with a commitment to fixed number. At another time, this was in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu clarified what is the Nibbanda. The situation was this, that there were many, many devotees who stormed the door of Swarup Damodar. They came to him to invite Mahaprabhu for lunch. And Swarup Damodar had to organize the lunch schedule of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was a difficult task because so many devotees lovingly invited Mahaprabhu, and there was only 364 days in a or lunches in a year. So one day Mahaprabhu smilingly said, "I will only come to a devotee who is a Lakeshvara." Lakeshvara means 100,000. Just like we say in American, in America and also in Germany, we give a number to address the richness of someone. Or he is a millionaire. Or he is a billionaire. What we mean with this number is he has $1 million or 2 or 3 million or 1 billion and so on. The number, in other words, is immediately associated to wealth. So when the poorer disciples heard this, they were totally depressed and dejected because now these devotees, it seemed, if you are not a 100,000 man, like a millionaire, no, then Mahaprabhu would not come and visit you. They were dejected, and maybe they thought, this is unfair. Why Mahaprabhu only comes to the rich devotees? I'm also a devotee. So Mahaprabhu heard about this amongst his devotees, and he laughed. And he explained what he meant with Lakeshvara, being rich. He meant rich in the holy name. Listen to his answer, where he defines also what is Mahaprabhu's standard. At this moment you laugh, but now listen, and maybe you will not laugh when you hear this. The Lord replied, "Do you know what is a Lakeshvara?" The possessor of 100,000. "He is someone who chants 1 lakh or 100,000 holy names a day. I call such a person a Lakeshvara. I only take meals in that person's house, no one else." a brahmana smiled, and the devotee smiled, and immediately they all committed themselves to the sacred order of Mahaprabhu to chant 64 rounds each day, because then and only then would Mahaprabhu accept their offerings. Now, 100,000 names is a little less than 64 rounds, but we chant still a little extra so that the 64 come, because we know some names we don't chant very well. This happens in the unavoidable anatomy of our physical bodies. There is some, the tongue will not work, the mouth will not work, and most of all, the mind will not work all the time. So, therefore, some extra, and then you reach the number of 64 rounds. Mm-hmm. So this standard was the standard in the Gaudiya tradition, because Mahaprabhu had said this very clearly. There's no need of interpretation. 64 rounds a day, otherwise he will not accept the offering of his devotees. They have a very clear statement. It is that you can also not, it is clear. No one has ever, to my knowledge, tried to say, no, this meant something for only for the brahmacharis and not the this, and not the sannyasis or whatever. So, good. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur maintained this number. He wrote, everyone living in the Gaudiya Math must make an effort to chant 1 lakh, 64 rounds, of holy names daily. Now he says what happens when you don't do this. Otherwise, different types of material attachments may creep in one's heart, and that will hamper one's devotional service. It's interesting. The chanting of such a number will flush the heart, apparently, like Ganga water, or it will sweep the heart from material contaminations. Maybe you remember this point from our first day, where we talked about the merciful, where we talked about that the holy name is more merciful than the form, because it is the holy name who comes into our heart and sweeps our heart from the contaminations, so that also the form of Lord Krishna will appear. So, let us continue with this letter of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. In fact, I must say, I don't... In fact, the Lord does not accept food offering from one who does not chant daily 1 lakh of holy names. Then he says, how you can chant 64 rounds? One should balance his time so that he can finish 1 lakh of holy names per day and also perform his other allotted duties. At the time of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he made many declarations that anyone who chanted 64 rounds a day could come into the temple, just do that, and he would supply them free lodges and free food, free boarding, so to say. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur made one exception to this rule, and this exception were the very busy preachers, who, he said, should chant 16 rounds. This is what I heard from Jayapataka Maharaj, who had done some research on this. So I related with this, that I have heard it from our Maharaj. Mm-hmm. So, what is then with Srila Prabhupada and his position to 64 ounces a day. When Srila Prabhupada first came to America, he encouraged his early disciples to follow the standard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the standard of his own Guru Maharaj. But he soon saw that the Western devotees were not able to sit calmly and chant 64 rounds. One of his first disciples, Mukunda Maharaj, related a meeting with Srila Prabhupada. We found it in one Vyasa Puja book, not of this year, but I believe the year before, or if you will not find it there, then you will find it in the year before that year. And this, in his own words, I would like to read you this, because it is very necessary for us to hear this patiently. Now, Mukunda Maharaj will now speak to us, or write to us. In 1967, at San Francisco, note, it was 67, at San Francisco, Srila Prabhupada asked me, "What is your definition of Krishna?" I said, "Krishna is God. He is the Supreme Being." Swamiji, "and our duty is to worship and serve Him." Swamiji, Srila Prabhupada, seemed fairly satisfied, and then he said, "You must chant 64 rounds per day on your beads." I was shocked at this and could not answer. I did not know if there was any need to answer. I just kept looking at Swamiji, and he looked at me. After some time, he said, "Or at least you can chant 32 rounds a day." Still, silence. I can imagine it was a dead-like silence. I considered it to be very difficult to chant even 16 rounds. I was wondering how I could possibly chant 32 rounds. After some time, Swamiji said, "At the very least, you must chant 16 rounds every day." Srila Prabhupada stood firm on his number 16 rounds, and he would not allow any further discussion about 16 rounds. There is an interesting meeting with, I should not tell his name, but actually, I think it's all right. He didn't want his seminar to be connected with. Anyways, it's a difficult subject because, anyways, Peter Burbush once visited Srila Prabhupada. I will have it in a second here. And he talked to Srila Prabhupada about his coaching organization. Are you familiar with Peter Burbush tennis coaching organization of the past? He had his men sign up as staff coaches who were all over the world, and even in Germany I met these men. It was a very widespread net of tennis trainer, all under the auspicious guidance of this great personality, Peter Burwasch, who is so, I mean, who holds Prabhupada so dear that he cried last time on the Vrindavan, New Vrindavan Festival of Inspiration. And although he wanted to talk about management, he ended up to talk for 20 minutes about Srila Prabhupada and was so emotionally moved that he won our hearts forever. Forever. So this impressive net of tennis coaches, someone could only sign up if he agreed to follow the four regulative principles. And if one of his men would break them, they were released and they would never be able to rejoin. This was written in the contract. Now, Peter Burwasch wanted to clarify something else with Srila Prabhupada. He said the biggest difficulty for his men was, amazingly, not to follow the four rules of human conduct, the four rules and regulations. But it was about this other clause, this other point, that is to chant every day 16 rounds. Because they had long work hours. So sometimes 16 or 18 hours, and that made it difficult for them to chant 16 rounds each day. I'm reading from Hari Sori Prabhu's diary. And then he asked Prabhupada if it was all right to chant only 8 or 10 rounds. Can you sympathize with this request? Now, listen to our glorious spiritual master. Prabhupada appreciated their sincerity and was very friendly to them, but he held firm to the standard of 16. No, they must chant 16. The meeting was very congenial. This was, of course, for those who were more serious. The contract was four rules and regulations. That was written in the contract. And those who were more serious, they were told 16 rounds. The meeting was very congenial. Srila Prabhupada thanked them for their efforts and encouraged them to continue. Now here you can see Prabhupada's position on 64 rounds. We will see it a little bit later. You can see Prabhupada's journey, so to say. He first came with 64 rounds, then he lowered it, seeing the inability, to 16, but not less, not one round less. That was Prabhupada's stand. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada explained why he lowered the standard. I quote, "The Krishna consciousness movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting on beats. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 names, he is considered fallen, patita." Now Prabhupada looks at his disciples, and in his way he speaks now in the V category. According to his calculation, practically every one of us is fallen. But because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen. You will find this in Nectar of Instruction, text 5, the purport. Srila Prabhupada, however, did not lose out of mind and out of sight to chant more rounds, to chant even continuously. And there are many references in his preaching to Haridas Thakur, who chanted a number of 192 rounds a day. Those of you who have ever tried it will know it's very difficult in a Western body to do it. There are 2 hours of sleep for you and everything else. And to maintain that over a few days is just the body's break. It's Western body's break. It seems to like running the body with 200 kilometers an hour. The body will just break. If it bones would crack and I don't know what else would happen. In a lecture, he reminded us, please do not forget to chant at least 16 rounds. That is the minimum. The minimum. The maximum is 300,000. Then he looks at all of us and says, this is not impractical. Yes, he has love of God. He's prema, highest devotee. He is beyond us. That is not impractical, Yajna Purusha, Prabhu. Don't think this is impractical. In fact, Prabhupada often pointed out in his books, these are not just, these are very, very important statements, that to chant continuously is the aim of Vaishnav practice. That is the nucleus of our practice. Here, in a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, text number 70, in the purport he says, the word asakrit is significant, for it means not just for a few minutes, but continuously. That is the instruction given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. The holy name of the Lord should be chanted 24 hours daily. Therefore, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we request the devotees to chant at least 16 rounds on their beads daily. Actually, and now, in German language, we say he lets the cat out of the bag. That is something which is a hidden agenda, a hidden point, becomes now public. Actually, one has to chant 24 hours daily, just like Thakur Hari does. You can imagine if you chant 22 hours on the rounds, when you do your other things in sleep, it will go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Even after Badahari Prabhu's yesterday's singing, although it was a difficult melody for a very for a simple man, this melody continued to play in the memory, like we say in German language, earworm. You can't get it. It gets in the ear and then you can't get it out. Do you have earworms also? Do you say in American language also? No, it's a certain worm which doesn't get out of the ear again. It's a medical problem. But you say about melodies, they are earworms also. You can't get them out. What?
They're stuck
in your head, you say in American language. Mm-hmm. Actually, one has to chant 24 hours daily, just like Thakur Hari does, who was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 300,000 times daily. Indeed, he had no other business. My dear devotees, there are many other quotations, and if you are interested for study, for scholarship, scholarly reasons to know them, I have collected a few, but I do want to go on in the point. Prabhupada said, when Mahaprabhu says, Kirtaniya Sada Hari, he means always. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra without stopping. My dear devotees, if you do research on Vaishnava history, this is how the gurus after Mahaprabhu would instruct their disciples. Chant continuously. This is what they would do. They would either do 64 rounds daily or 100 or the double amount, because Haridas Thakur was, you know, 192 was, that was difficult for the one and all to chant. So 120 rounds, and the minimum was 64. You might ask, in our present context, that this is very amazing. It's not amazing if your goal is to go back home, back to Godhead. It's amazing if you want to stay here. And have so many other things to do here. So many other projects to do. If you have the one project, it is most natural and not impractical. I'm actually doing something on this day which I have reserved for one day. I will get a little on your nerves. So I will motivate you to chant. But I will do it gently, and don't worry, don't worry. I have not yet reached the peak. Once Lokanath Maharaj directly asked Srila Prabhupada about his recommendations to chant 16 rounds, because it was discussed. Lokanath Maharaj, I'm taking this from a conversation on 10th of November, 75. You are recommending 16 as a minimum, and some devotees are choosing 20 as a minimum. We know Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had the minimum 25. Now where he has left the body, we can talk about these private things. Huh? And Prabhupada answers, so who forbids? Who says, don't do it? That is wanted. But because you cannot do it, therefore we have fixed up this minimum. He refers to 16 rounds. But Sankhyata, Shankhyata. Shankhyata means with a vow. Numerical strength, and Ashankhyata means there is no limit. I personally take this as my own goal, and I want to bring it to your attention also. Sankhyata means you have a vow. That is 16 rounds. Prabhupada has, this is the vow we gave at our sacred initiation. And there is no trouble with this vow, because Srila Prabhupada has given us this concession, and he is there. He, great acharyas can define the means of sadhana. So he has done it. Following Bhaktisiddhanta, and he has engaged us in a lot of preaching activities. That was his way, how he did. So this is the vow. We are safe with this vow. We can go back to Godhead with this vow. This vow is absolutely wonderful, 16 rounds. No, I'm not questioning this at all with this today. Prabhupada says, but Prabhupada said, Sankhyata and Asankhyata. Sankhyata means with a vow, a numerical strength. And Asankhyata means there is no limit. You can chant more. We always have this in our many lectures, which choose to express it like this. When you have, they make it like a little drama. When you have chanted, Prabhupada actually said it, I've chanted my 16 rounds, now I can do all nonsense. He once said this in an funny way, in a joking way, speaking to us, because some of us feel like this. 16 round, hokya means it's done. Let me do all. I mean, not nonsense. You know what I want to say. Let me do other things now. But if you wish to think about advancement, then chant more. And today is the day where we will chant more. We will try to reach 64 rounds, but if we feel this is a diet which is too rich in rounds for me, and we feel restless and in some ways disturbed and so on, we, as your facilitator, I will tell you, chant 32 rounds. And if you can't do this, as your facilitator, I will say, chant a minimum of 16 rounds, but today at least chant one extra round. Because we wish to come to the level where we enter this idea of glorifying Krishna, doing this service, which is, you know, Shravanam and Kirtanam. And we heard one Vaishnav yesterday said, quoted Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that all the nine processes of devotional service, it may be Savatma Prabhu, it sounds, no? They are in that chanting of the name. They manifest from there. This is a very, very dear subject for devotees. It's a very esoteric, not esoteric, very deep subject. And if you wish, if it's a question for you to find out, we will. You can ask this in the question and answer sessions, which will come towards the end of our retreat. It's almost there. But now I really don't want to lose the track, because something else is now coming. Srila Sanatan Goswami, this point is very important. Please listen to it very carefully. It is not a long point. We are very much in time. Srila Sanatan Goswami established six rules in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, that is the Vaishnava rule book. And you will be given the six rules as the gift of Sanatan Goswami to all of you. These rules will help you to make your chanting perfect. This is how he introduces the point. On the last day, when we have the Sankalpa ceremony, we will hear about the six rules. I will request our Mataji, who is the best handwriter I have met in this lifetime, Rasagya, to note down the rules I will give later, and then we will reveal it in the last day to all of you. So one of the rules is you should chant with, the Sanskrit word is avyagrata, avyagratva actually, that is patience in a calm and peaceful state of mind. This is how you should chant. Now, the problem is, when you give yourself these numbers, then you get into this stress. I must reach it, and you're not calm and peaceful. Even with 16 rounds, I experience sometimes on very busy days, you know, you went to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then you have to be already there at 7 o'clock, and you are... and then it's Jamashtami, and you have to, there are hundreds of people, and thousands of people, and many of them want to speak with you outside of the program, and then 16 rounds. And you run to a forest where no one finds you, and then you go, and you notice, oh, these rounds, Mr. Japaman. These rounds, you know, and you have no calmness and peaceful. Especially we Westerners are totally capable to always put us under stress. We are experts in this. I'm sometimes writing, And please let us understand our writing devotees, like we have one, our biggest writer in our movement amongst us, and I feel very, very honored. When I'm writing, I say, I will do it very peacefully, because it has to have some quality. But then I think, oh no, I must make these 20 pages. I don't have to write 20 pages. I can write whatever I write. No deadlines. But the moment I do something, I have noticed in my psychology, the Western psychology, I put some dates, some numbers, some this, and I'm suffering, and there's no need to suffer. Absolutely no need. Just calmly, peacefully do your service, or in this case of chanting, calmly and peacefully glorify Krishna, be with Krishna. Where is the stress? It's nice. But we Westerners, oh no, we put a that, and then we don't make it, we become all mental and we lose hope and so on. This is totally unwanted and unnecessary. All of us are stress producers, very good stress producers. And it's only us who do this. It's no one else. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote about this. Oh, I have counted 1 lakh of names, 64 rounds, but there's no prema, because all I think of is to fulfill my fixed number. And then he says, oh, what a counting game. For children in Germany, the way that, you engage children in Germany, at least in the old times, this is what I did, my toy for many years was, there were there's this frame, and inside the frame metal bars, and then there are five yellow beads, for instance, and five blue beads, and then you learn counting. The blue bead goes there, 1, 2, 3, 4. I made 4, mama, I did 4. And then you go up to 10, and you feel a great feeling of accomplishment as a child. I have counted 10, mother. And there's more to come, says mother. There is also 20. And then you go to the next row, which was up till now ignored. And then you count, in my counting game, up to 30. That was in my possession. Such a counting game. So a child can be like this, can do a counting game and learn counting. But a serious sadhaka should not enter the counting game thing. He is not a child. In some ways, he is a child, but we should not be childish. Childlike is all right when we refer to purity and these qualities, but not childishness. It is childish to count like this. And I want to say a word of caution. Once there was a Vaishnava state called Vishnupura, in which there was a king called Gopal Singh. And it was after Mahaprabhu's times, Gopal Singh demanded of all his inhabitants that they must chant 64 rounds a day. Now imagine a farmer. The fields are crying for his work. When you are a farmer, you have to get up at sunrise and be there at the fields in the summertime, do your work. And then he comes home. He may have chanted five rounds. Then he comes home. He looks at his number of rounds. He's really hungry. He's really tired. It's 6 o'clock. Then he says 64 minus 5. He may have to go to an astrologer to calculate. If he is a simple farmer, oh, that's That's 59 rounds still left. Imagine how he will chant his 59 rounds under great duress. So in this japa retreat, and I would suggest for the rest of your life, don't bring yourself under duress. Then the quality of your rounds is not good. Tomorrow we will hear a wonderful, wonderful lecture of Srila Prabhupada about quality. What is quality? And when you hear it, you will see it makes a lot of sense, and so on. So, on this japa retreat, I want to remind all of you, let us think about not chanting under duress, but at the same time, those of you who can do it, 64 rounds is nothing, because today we have nothing else on our agenda. Really nothing else. It takes 8 hours. Usually less than 8 hours, because we don't chant exactly 2 rounds, many of us. So, what you can do is, when you feel a little drowsy, today we have made a contract with Viva Schwan, he has agreed to shine the whole day. So there is good weather and walking ability is with you, so you kindly walk, and so on. I really want to do this. To help you, I will bring you into, this is the last point, I'm almost finished. To help you, to help all of us. Oh, where is this? Here. I will request you to observe Mona. You will make interesting experience with Mona. What is Mona? Mona is the vow of silence. Prabhupada once spoke about this in a lecture in 1976. He said, Srila Rupa Goswami says, I have got only one tongue and 2 ears. So how can I enjoy or serve Hare Krishna only with one tongue and 2 ears? If I had millions of ears and trillions of tongues, then it would have been possible. He's feeling like that. So he is expecting many ears and many tongues to chant Hare Krishna. He's expecting. Then, perhaps with a touch of irony, Prabhupada commented on us. So far we are concerned, conditioned soul, even 16 rounds becomes very, very difficult job for us, because we are practiced to talk nonsense. I remember one poet wrote, practiced in the art of deception. We are practiced to talk nonsense. We cannot find out little time, say for 2 hours, for chanting Hare Krishna. But we can find 24 hours for talking nonsense. Therefore one who cannot chant Hare Krishna mantra, he should stop his talking. That is called Mona. Don't talk anymore. Better remain silent. This is recommendation by Prahlad Maharaj. So, on this day, we will do this Monam. Monam is not a punishment. All traditions know about the vow of silence and how much it helps you. See, if you don't talk, your usual vibration, your mind will not oscillate in the same way. And you will be able to experience something totally new. It's like mental it's the fasting for the mind, really. So you will be become very strong, and you will have amazing experience. And I request you to collect these experiences, because then and only then you will enter into a new realm in your Krishna consciousness. Srila Sanatana Goswami says in the same verse where he mentions patience and calmness, he says that to perfect your chanting, mona or the or silence should be done. Mostly mona in Prabhupada's definition is we don't talk nonsense, but we talk about Krishna. That is even more than being silent. Today, because it's a special day for us, and it's a special occasion, a japa retreat, we will take to the literal meaning. It will, let us only do it once a day. Not that when you come from the japa retreat and have peak experience with monam, you come to your temple and you practice monam. No. It's a higher state than silence is to talk about Krishna. That is what Prabhupada taught us. But today, to facilitate our chanting, we will do so. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaj ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Yes. I would now like to give the practical framework. Is Yagya Purusha? Yes, Yagya Purusha Prabhu is also there. I suggest, especially in the light of the grief which has come into our heart, that we observe monam from the time where we leave this room. Maybe there is some last discussions, the soap is there and this is there. By the way, you can communicate. Monam means really be silent. Don't then now enter into wild gesture discussions. Don't please do this. Monam means when the mind is also silent. There are Mona Babas who read every day the newspaper, and the mind oscillates like anything with this war and this scandal and so on. That is not the idea of monam. So please, the way to observe monam, be for yourself. Now, be with yourself. Stop relating to the external world. Then it's very easy. But if you are external, then you will feel strange when you are silent. Just be for yourself. Be in yourself. Be with the holy name the whole day. Sing also the holy name. So my suggestion is, one moment, Divyamba, when you are out of this door, then it is your monam period. Or your mona time. And then another thing, I do not know how the group feels about this. My suggestion is that we meet here at 3:00. First of all, I suggest do your rounds with the devotees, because that's a special situation, that all of us are focused on the holy name. Really, it will help very much, and so on. But if you feel I wish to be a little bit alone, that's equally as all right. Then be in the sun. Sometimes it will help you to walk a little bit, to get the circulation going, get good oxygen and so on. So both are all right, but I would suggest take advantage of the devotional association, because really that is special. We don't find that in usual temples where everyone is that much fixed, and we have many older devotees and so on. That will be very good. That was one thing, one practical suggestion. Yes, the other practical suggestion, I would suggest that at 3:00 we meet here, and then Yagya Purusha Prabhu will break his monam and guide us into this circle chanting, which is a very, very powerful experience. And I think if we are practiced a little bit, it will help us very much. Yagya Purusha Prabhu will arrange the room, maybe the, I leave it up to him, and he will just guide us how to, it's not very complicated, but he will guide us how to do it. 3 o'clock, is that alright for you? Now, if someone gets so much into the chanting at 3 o'clock, becomes another stress. Oh, it's 3 o'clock, I have to be there, and so on. It's not a have, but it is recommended. In the evening, we will all meet. That is where I really request everyone to be there. At 7 o'clock, and we will have a very nice and mellow way to end the day. And I want to, what we do there, we will dedicate it to our Maharaj and give him further help. When you feel how your motivation goes down, think of Prabhupada's death meditation, you know, which we read in the beginning, which is so much in our mind. This chanting of Hare Krishna is so important. So you can think, death is coming, death is at my door. Let me finish my chanting. Let me finish my chanting. Always you should think. Anyways, I don't want to end my class with this, but if you feel a lack of motivation, understand your situation in this world. No one gets out of here alive. Why do you laugh? Oh, really? Someone said this? Oh, Krishna. I'm strongly influenced by negative forces here. No one here lives in Prabhupada's world. No one here lives, so we have good reason. But main thing is, we want to glorify Krishna. We want to open our hearts to him. We want to surrender to him. Mm-hmm. Then Divyambara, Mataji. I personally think we can finish it after this evening. We will go into the evening, and then we will do something nice. It has to do with kirtan and so on. I will attempt to sing if I don't get on the human level. I will attempt to sing the raga which Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj always sang. It's a very meditative raga, and we know it actually. And if we can, if we are not swept away by emotions, we will sing only for 2-5 minutes, and then Bada Hari Prabhu will sing, and there will be a surprise for you. No, because you are the main singer. I'm the frog and you are the cuckoo. we do. So is that answering your question, Divyambara? And then we will talk and do sharing. Mm-hmm. Yes, please. Sabhatma Prabhu. Oh, very good question. Yes, now is Prashadam. And you will make a special experience, please, to take prasadam while monam. Priyavata Prabhu told me that's actually the way to take prasadam, to not talk. Oh, so many nice things come up. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you for this Ayurvedic perspective. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yes, anyone else? Rukmini?
You mentioned that Sanatan Goswami had 6 rules, but I only got one.
Yes, I said it will be my present for you at the end of the retreat, because then you can take something home and work on this. It's really, really very nice and very nice rules. You will feel, ah, I always thought like this about one rule. Oh, this, I never thought about this. Wonderful. It's really very, very nice. Rasagya will, I will request her to write it in her beautiful handwriting. And then, it will be shared. Mm-hmm. Any other question? Practical questions? It's interesting to hear about the 64 rounds, isn't it? It makes us, okay, 16 rounds is possible, must be possible for me. I will make it possible after this retreat. Any other?
One question.
Not a philosophical, only a technical, because we want to quickly go into chanting.
64 rounds is over and above our regular 16?
No. Very good, Goswami Prabhu. Altogether 64 rounds, which include your regular 16. It's not 64 rounds plus your regular 16. It is, yes. Yeah. I mean, if you, by the way, what I recommend is more than 64 rounds, at least one. You know, remember, no counting game today. We have one guest, our Alex, who is an actor in Washington, I hear, and a second actor, third actor, and he came on the 64 rounds day. So Alex, we wish you all the best. You didn't have the preparation which the others have. Give your best. You will make it. He came with lectures, interesting workshops, maybe a movie, and then 64 rounds for you. It will be easy and very blissful. It is not at all hard. It is the most blissful day in our lives today. I wish you a wonderful day. Prasadam now at 1 o'clock again there is prasadam, noon prasadam, and at 3 o'clock please do come for this interesting circle chanting. Prasadam is at 6, and at 7 o'clock we will meet here. Monam ends afterwards. All the best for you. I will be praying for you. I'm so proud of you that you... I feel some sparkle of determination in your eyes. You will do it. No problem. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Swarup Damodara Maharaja ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.